That's why Carl is sta-
This is Audible.
And now, part two of Skippy Dies, written by Paul Murray, and read by John Keating, and a full cast.
Carl in the dark, in the shadows. It's late. He doesn't know how long he has been there. Behind the gates at the end of the grey tongue of drive is a house. It is her house. There are no cars outside, and no lights on. But this is a trick, because Carl saw a shape moving in the dark inside the window. Above the gate, a little red dot of light that belongs to the security camera. That's why Carl is standing here, crushed up to the wall. The gates are locked, and the walls are high with glass on top. The road is narrow and winding and quiet and dark. Nothing is moving. Except inside, close up, everything is jumping. Everything is speeding and screaming at a million miles a second. In his ear, the phone buzzes, and a voice tells him he has reached Laurie's number. It speaks the number all chopped up like a broken robot. It tells him to leave a message after the tone. The first times, that's what he did. He left messages like, "Why weren't you at the hop? Where are you now? Why won't you answer?" But then he got bored, and now instead he leaves silences. "Hello, you have reached number. Please leave a message after the tone." Silence. Until the network cuts him off. Then he hits the button, and it all happens again. By now, he has stopped expecting her to pick up or not pick up. It's almost like it's going on without him. Buzz. Voice. Silence. Buzz. Voice. Silence. But in his head, he can see it. The phone ringing in her bedroom, playing the Bethany song. Laurie cross-legged on her bed in her pajama bottoms, in the house, all alone, watching it on her desk, flashing. "Carl calling." Then it stops, and the little envelope tumbles onto the screen. "You have a new voice message." And she gets up and goes to hear it, and into her ear pours the scary sound of the silent outside going... piling up with all the other silences he has sent her. Silences floating through the house, like cold chunks cut out of the night. She is scared. She is crying. Then suddenly she presses the button, and this time it is him in her room, staticky, night-shaped, like a bad spirit in a fairy tale. And with him the night, the cold, the trees, the dark, they're all transported inside, packed into her bedroom. She is screaming, "What is happening?" Then she is running. Holding the phone between his chin and his shoulder, he takes the tube of pills out of his pocket. He brought them for her, but now they are mostly gone. He pours a little pyramid on his fingertip and lifts it up to his nose. It is a message he is sending to himself. He leans his head back and looks up at the cold stars and waits for it to arrive like a bolt of lightning. Then there is a noise, a message on his phone. It's her. She's been watching him on the CCTV, and now she's going to open the gates. But it's not from her. It's from Barry. "Where are you? You have to come to Ed's right now." Carl does not want to go to Ed's. He writes back, "What's the story?" The reply comes almost as soon as he sent it. "Just fucking get here now." Carl is pissed off. As soon as he goes, he knows the gates will open. He sees her creeping on tiptoes over the gravel, going, "Carl! Carl! Fuck it! Fuck Barry!" But he gets on his bike and flies back towards Seabrook. The lights of the road swirl and beam extra bright. He gets there in record time. When he goes behind the donut shop, though, none of the faces that turn to look at him are Barry. First he thinks it's a mistake, like he got the wrong message. Then he realizes he knows these faces. He turns to run, but someone's behind him, and the next thing he knows, he's on the ground. It's the knackers from the park, all four of them. One of them is pinning him down. Another is crouched a little way away, doing the same thing to Barry. From the ground between the arms and legs, he stares across at Carl with eyes full of fear. What is going on?
Two posh cunts from Seabrook College.
The knacker with the shaved head says in a loud voice, like he's making a speech.
Two little faggots.
He walks around in a small circle with a can in his hand. The knacker with greasy hair is kneeling on Carl's chest.
Did you think you could just go on like this forever? Did you fucking think we just let you go on doing this and we wouldn't mind, you fucking queers?
Is he asking Carl? Carl does not understand. He is still trying to understand when Shaved Head's face suddenly changes from a question to a snarling, like he's taken off a mask, and beneath it there's a fire. Carl only catches a glimpse of this, then everything is spinning and stars. His head rings. He feels something wet running down his face.
What is it?
Shaved Head shouts.
Where'd you get it?
His foot lands with a splat in Carl's eye. Carl rolls his head, panting. From the dark, the smashed lights of a burned car stare back at him, like someone burned and lying on the ground in the weeds and garbage. Greasy hair is searching through Carl's clothes, into the pockets of his trousers and jacket.
We are going to kill you,
he tells Carl, softly, like the doctor telling you the needle might sting a little bit. He finds Carl's wallet and throws it to Shaved Head.
That's a fucking start, at least,
Shaved Head says.
Here we go.
Greasy Hair has found the tube. Shaved Head takes it and opens it.
This is what you've been selling? What is it? Speed.
Barry tries to say something, but his teeth are chattering too much. Shaved Head opens the tube and pours a mound onto the back of his hand. He lowers his nose into it, and then a moment later he folds his arms into himself in little jerks.
Whoa, I like that,
He throws his shoulders back, twists his head.
Fuck yeah, where did you shitheads get all of this?
In a little squeaky, stammery voice, Barry tells him about the pills. He tells him everything. About Morgan, about the girls on diets, about the little kids in junior school and the fireworks.
Selling to all the rich bitches,
Shaved Head says.
Not a bad little plan. Unfortunately, you fucked with the wrong people.
His voice is bright with the drug. It makes you think you're on TV.
Get the rope.
Now a knacker with bad teeth comes out of the trees at the edge of the waste ground. In his hand is a blue rope. When he sees it, Barry starts shouting. The spotty guy on top of him slaps him. Then when Barry doesn't stop, he grabs an old newspaper lying on the ground and stuffs Barry's mouth full of it.
Better do this one first,
he says, and pulls Barry to his feet. Through the newspaper, Barry's still making a noise, a high-pitched, gurgling squeal like a drowning pig. Tears are running down his face, and Carl can feel them too, burning in a lump in his throat. Greasy Hair hauls him to his feet as Spots drags Barry over to the burned-out car and pulls him up onto the bonnet.
Don't worry, you'll get your turn,
he says in his doctor voice.
But first, you'll have to watch your boyfriend die.
A suicide pact,
Shaved Head announces.
For two little Seabrook queers who can't take it anymore. I don't think the cops will be too surprised. They'll just be glad it's two less faggots.
Spots has made the blue rope into a noose. Now he puts it over Barry's head. Barry is just staring into space. It's like he is watching something horrible happening somewhere far away that none of the others can see yet. But then, as Shaved Head calls,
do it!
And Spots steps behind him, he wakes up again, making the noise. His body shaking so hard, it looks like he might shake to pieces. His eyes full of panic, and tears flinging themselves at Carl and clutching at him, begging him to do something. But what is Carl supposed to do? When all of this was Barry's great idea. Barry, who knows all the answers, who thinks he is so smart, who tricked Carl into coming down here so he could die here too? Suddenly, Carl's body floods with anger. And inside, although a part of him is going, oh, fuck, another part is thinking, die.
Wait!
Bad Teeth calls sharply. Spots stops with his hands right at Barry's shoulders. Bad Teeth runs over and pulls down Barry's pants. Everyone laughs at Barry's wang, shriveled white and pea-like, and squirting floods of yellow piss. They laugh and laugh. The knackers, the trees, the garbage, the black and steel skips behind the donut house. The people inside eating their donuts. The boarders in the tower, the sky overhead. And Carl laughs too. Or maybe he cries. It could be he is crying. It's impossible to tell. And now Spots runs forward with his hands stretched out. And Barry goes tumbling to the ground. Carl doesn't know what's going on. Then he understands. The rope wasn't tied to anything. The knackers are laughing their heads off. Ha ha! The face on him! Aha! Ha ha ha! Barry is on his hands and knees.
Take that thing off him before he fucking strangles himself,
Shaved Head says. Bad Teeth goes over to him and lifts the rope over Barry's head. Barry tries to get up, but gets caught in his trousers and falls flat on his face again. The knackers are rolling around the ground with tears on their cheeks. At last, Shaved Head stops laughing enough to say,
Ah, here, Dino, give him a fucking can.
Bad Teeth takes a couple of cans out his bag and throws one to Carl and one into the bushes where Barry sits pulling his trousers up and crying.
You thought you were going to die?
Spots hoots. After a second, Carl starts to see the funny side too. When he hears Carl, Barry comes out of the bushes. Now he is laughing as well, a little bit. Everyone is laughing, except for Greasy Hair, who is more sort of staring at Carl and Barry and smiling in this wolfy way.
No hard feelings,
Shaved Head says. He sticks out his hand to Barry. Barry shakes it, and then Carl does.
We wouldn't kill two good customers like yous. Bit fucking cheeky, though, dealing on someone else's patch.
Sorry, Barry said.
You were fucking clever bastards, though, coming up with a nice little learner like that. Shame to let the whole fucking thing go tits up.
Everyone is sitting down now on the circle of black burned ground. Bad Teeth has skinned up a joint. It's super skunk or something. Just the smell is enough to get you destroyed.
You never sold us this stuff,
Barry says.
Always keep the best shit for yourself,
Bad Teeth grins. His mouth is like a car crash. Then it could be a minute later, or it could be an hour. Carl and Barry are both wrecked. The sky is spinning all around them. The ground is sucking them down like it's full of magnets. Bad Teeth leans on his elbow, chuckling, playing with the dirt. Shaved Head and Spots lie on their backs, like someone tipped them over. Now Barry starts to move. Spinning in front of him, he tells Carl he has to go home.
Hang on.
Carl crawls about to find a direction that leads upwards. The ground is throwing itself around. It's like being on a ship.
See you, lads,
Barry says to the knackers.
Cheers, amigos,
Spots says.
Talk to you.
Carl and Barry lurch over the bumpy ground, tripping over cans and springs and glass. They giggle because it is taking them so long to get anywhere. Then something hard hits them from behind, and they fall to the ground. Hands grab them and turn them on their backs. Greasy Hair's breath that smells of shit is in their faces, and through stars, Carl sees Shaved Head standing over them with his smile gone and a long metal bar in his hand.
Sorry, lads,
Spots says.
But we do still have to punish you.
Greasy Hair rolls up Barry's shirt sleeve over his white arm.
It's just business,
Shaved Head says. He swings the bar back over his head. Beneath the scream, the snap of Barry's arm is one short, flat crack, like breaking a Kit Kat in two. When Bad Teeth and Greasy Hair climb off him, he lies there twitching like a fish taken out of its bowl. Then it's Carl's turn. He tries to push them away, but he's too monged. They pin him down. The bar lifts. But it doesn't come down. After a bit, Carl opens his eyes. The four knackers are all staring at Carl's arm.
Fuck's sake!
Spot says.
This cunt's a fucking mentalist.